Yeah, it was interesting. As you go through changes in life, there definitely was something in particular that I was encouraged with, and I was actually going to say, "Hey, can you make some time for me on Sunday?" And you guys did it without me asking. So it was just incredible, because there was a few opportunities. I was around Andrew, and I kept, I wanted to ask him, and we got interrupted. And anyway, but the thing that I have just really been especially impressed with recently has been something that God just seems to keep encouraging me with, is trust. And it's interesting this morning, the lesson for the children, obey. And there's a song, Trust and Obey, the old hymn, and the two seem to go quite hand in hand. And when you can have a heavenly Father in whom you can just have total confidence. And there's a number of children here today, and they have confidence in their fathers, and sometimes we will let you down. It's clear. If you ask my kids, they'll say, "Oh yeah, my dad's let me down." We try hard, and some fathers do a better job of it than others. We know there's some fathers that can be very harmful almost, but that beautiful relationship of the perfect Father that we see in our Heavenly Father, of just one that we can trust. And as a result, we can obey him, because as we heard illustrated this morning, we're asked to do something that we have no idea, about different things. We have lots of questions, and yet we just proceed on, just trusting and knowing that God's not going to ask us for something that we can't handle or that we can't do. So I have some scriptures from Psalms I want to go through this morning. And then I have four personal stories, if you'll allow me to share with you, of times that the Lord has very specifically been kind of testing me, and helping me just to be trusting him and just continue to encourage me in that. The first thing I want to share with you is one of the things, a lot of you people know about this, but one of the darkest times in our lives as husband and wife, Sherry and I, went through, and that was the death of a daughter of ours. It was 3 years old. She died by drowning, so it was completely woke up in the morning, completely not expecting that to happen. And I know it's a very tough thing to share with people, and I don't do it lightly, and I know it's something that when you stop and think of it, it's a horrific thing. And one of the reasons I share it is because some of my other stories I'll share with you, the Lord, it seems like things have worked out, but that's one where everything went wrong that day. There was 100 different factors, maybe more, that just, one thing could have been different, and the outcome could have been different. And if you back up from that time in our life, it was just over seven years ago. If you back up from that time in our life, I had this very distinct time. Numerous times, I should say, I'd walk out to my car from the office that I was working in, and I just had this sense, Lord, I trust you. I just trust you. And for some reason, it seemed to happen after work for me numerous times. And then you go through something like that, and I can tell you after going through something as difficult as that, one of the most difficult things that a person can go through, that I can say, Lord, I trust you. I really trust you. So let me just to start to share one of my next stories, or personal kind of testimonies of what the Lord took me through. In Psalms, I have once in a while I've had this practice of on a day, I'll take the five Psalms for the day. I don't know if you've ever heard of this before, but as an example, what I was going to share with you was from July 11th. So on the 11th of July, I read Psalm 11, and then if you add 30 to it, Psalm 41, Psalm 71, Psalm 101, Psalm 131. So those are kind of the five Psalms for the day. And so I went through those Psalms. Now, the day before that, so that was July 11th, I got a call, allegedly from TELUS, which I guess you could guess from what I'm saying, it was a scammer. And in the process of talking to the scammer, I gave him, you know, we're going through this move, we have a busy day, and I gave him some information. So they phoned, they said, hey, we got this great deal on a cell phone for you, and we can't get Shaw in Alberta where we're located, and so we were going to have to switch to TELUS. We were looking at that anyway. I'm like, oh, okay, great, maybe I should switch my cell phones over. So it's just amazing how he caught me, but gave away a number of pieces of information. My driver's license, my social insurance number, my Shaw account for mobility, my Fido account for mobility. We've got kind of split on the two, and they had me convinced it was Shaw. So anyway, I hung up, and just suddenly, I had a speakerphone, Sherry kind of heard it too, and just suddenly I just had something that isn't right here. I had a number to phone back, I phoned him back, I talked to the guy I talked to, so it seemed legit, and I was still skeptical, and I said to him, I just wanted to know, like, you didn't give me a confirmation number. You got a confirmation number for me. He says, oh, no, it's okay. You don't need one. We'll contact you in a couple of days if you're approved. And anyway. So as I was saying, let's just look at Psalm 71. So this was one of the Psalms that I flipped to the next morning after having experienced that. And actually, maybe I'll just tell you a couple more details. I talked to a son of mine, my second oldest son, Elliot. He has been doing some training for scams he volunteers with the Abbotsford Police, and he's been doing training for scams with the seniors through that program. And so I phoned him and I said, hey, what should I do? And he said, well, first of all, was it wrong? Like, was it truly a scam? So he had me look up the number for TELUS, and I talked to them, and it was definitely a scam. So anyway, then he says, well, you know, phone your other providers and tell them what's happened. So I went through and I did that. So that had kind of happened the day before, right? And then this is the morning of the 11th. And so having gone through that, I contacted Shaw. I contacted my bank, and they didn't seem too interested because I hadn't really given away any of their information. And then Equifax, which you can use to help with your credit and stuff. And anyway, so I had done those things. And then I felt a little pretty good that night. So anyway, I woke up in the morning, and then Psalm 71, if you want to just read that first verse, it says, in you, O Lord, I put my trust. Let me never be put to shame. And I was feeling, like I say, somewhat secure that I had done all I could the night before. But I was just really encouraged by that. And then if you want to turn back to Psalm 11, I want to really focus on Psalm 11. And Psalm 71 had a number of ways in which it expounded upon that. But back in Psalm 11, it starts with a similar theme. And actually, I'll just quote, I had a couple other psalms I had written down. You know, one of the psalms is Psalm 20, verse 7. You guys are probably familiar with this, or many of you are. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. And then trusting in chariots, you know, trusting in things. And then Psalm 146, verse 3, don't put your trust in princes, nor in the Son of Man, in whom there is no help. And so, you know, the big question for each of us, and truly, you know, it's each one of us. It's an ongoing thing to just continue to build up in our trust for the Lord. But are we really trusting the Lord, or are we trusting these things or politicians or whatever? So Psalm 11. So as I say, it starts out, verse 1, in the Lord I put my trust. How can you say to my soul, flee as a bird to your mountain? For look, the wicked bend their bow. They make ready their arrow on the string, that they may shoot secretly at the upright in heart. So that picture there, the wicked bend their bow, they make ready, and they secretly shoot. So they're trying to secretly shoot. And it was just such a picture of you know, a scammer. And really, what does it work down to? It works down to the prince of this world is trying to deceive you, is trying to scam you. You know, so it's, yes, these people are doing it, but really they're driven by the prince of this world, Satan, who's trying to, you know, secretly shoot this arrow out and catch you and hit you. And then verse 3, it says, if the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? And I was I'm reminded of a few stories of foundation. And one of them, or a few times when I was thinking about the foundation. And in the Bible, we're encouraged to build your life on a foundation. And that foundation is Jesus Christ. And he's talked about as a rock, something very solid. And I'll tell you a couple of quick stories. These are in addition to other things I was going to try and share. But when I was a kid growing up in a town in Manitoba, we had a lot of cold temperatures and shifting this, they called it gumbo. I can't remember. There was another Manitoba gumbo. But this one guy in the town was trying to build his own house, and he was using a wooden foundation. And he was kind of the laughingstock of the town, and for good reason. You know, you build a house on a wooden foundation, and things are going to shift in the soil and change. And, you know, you go to minus 40 in the winter and plus 40 in the summer, and things really are poor. And then another thing I was thinking about is this house that Sherry and I viewed a number of years ago in Brookswood. And you walked into it, and the house was tilted. There was something wrong with that foundation. I don't know if you've ever experienced such things before or heard of such things or imagine a, you know, then you imagine like a high rise. Gets even more significant that foundation be secure. And they'll pile those, drive those piles down to make that foundation secure. It gets even more important when it comes to our lives, that our foundation is on something secure. You know, it's a shame for people. It's very sad for people to get to the end of their life and realize they had built their foundation on science. They had built their foundation on, you fill in the blank, things, politicians, whatever. And they had missed out on Christ, the solid rock. So anyway, that really encouraged me in this psalm, and just realizing the solidness of Christ. And then verse 4, it talks about the Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes behold, his eyelids test the sons of man. And so God, there is God. And I took such comfort in this, thinking, you know, these guys are again, they're trying to scam me. And yet God knows. He knows exactly what's going on. He knows the secret things that person's doing. He knows the secret things that this person's doing. He knows the good things you're trying to do. He knows the evil things you're trying to, you know, we are trying to do. God sees. And I the eyelids, I don't know if somebody else may have a better understanding of that. But I almost wondered, like, eyelids, you don't really use your eyelids to see. The only thing I could think of is squinting, and you know, you're kind of looking. And I mean, it's a personal, like, it's people that it's kind of analogy to. It's not God doesn't have to do this, but I don't know if you've ever been looking at something, you're kind of squinting to try and see it. You know, like I say, God can look right in there and see it. And then the Lord tests the righteous. Verse 5 goes on to say, so he's testing the righteous. It's people like me, he's testing you. This was a great test to have gone through. But the wicked and the one who loves violence, his soul hates. So he really hates the evil in the world. He doesn't take joy in it. He allows it for reasons that we don't understand. We are not all-knowing and all-understanding as he is. And then verse 6, upon the wicked he will rain coals, fire and brimstone, and a burning wind shall be the portion of their cup. He's going to look after it, and let him have the vengeance. Let's not take things, matters into our own hand. Let's be wise, like I've said, you know, taking some of these precautions, but not trying to get back at the people that may harm us. And then the last verse, for the Lord is righteous. He loves righteousness. His countenance beholds the upright. So as I say, I just took such peace and solace in that. And I think, you know, again, some common things, verses that we know, but Proverbs 3, 5 and 6, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Use your understanding. Use your mind. God has given you that, but don't depend upon it. There's times when we have to trust the Lord more. Again, you know, that a beautiful example this morning. Obey even if it doesn't make sense to us, trusting him more. So then I went through that day, starting out feeling feeling pretty good. And then a couple of days later, I got a call from them, and guess what? I had been accepted. And I'm like, okay, what's this going to mean? I'm kind of playing along still. And the long and the short of it is they said, you're going to get some emails from FIDO. Just delete them. They told us that they're a mistake. They're for somebody else. Just delete them. And then hung up from the guy. And well, the next day I got another call from somebody, and they said a different. So this is now a third person I spoke to with this group, and he says, did you get some emails from FIDO? And I hadn't, but can you check? So I looked at my phone, and we have our Shaw account on my phone, and so I looked at that, no, I didn't. And then as I'm talking to him, it dawned on me, I happen to use a different email address. And so partially to just buy some time, but also, you know, would take effort. It's only on my computer. And okay, I said, well, you know what? It's on my computer. Maybe in the next hour I can check it. So he says, well, I'll call you back. So I hung up from him. Amazing how, you know, Satan wants to deceive. He wants to deceive us in everything, doesn't he? I checked my email. I had three emails from FIDO. Your passcode has changed. I hadn't changed my passcode. And I neglected to mention, I contacted Shaw the night before after reading Psalm 11. Again, like I say, I carried through. I connected with Shaw, with FIDO. It's a little bit more difficult. Anyway, so your passcode has been changed. We've changed your plan to what you wanted with more data and all this, and it was going to cost you more a month. And your iPhone's on the way. We're going to ship you your new iPhone. So, okay. I've been had. And so, again, it was really awkward now. I'm in this fret, okay? And part of what I wanted to just encourage you with is that we trust the Lord. And yet there's times when we're almost like we start fretting again, and we're going to get that ache in our stomach, and some of that is good for driving us to try and do what's right and properly get things done. As long as we don't take our eyes off the Lord and start lacking in our trust of Him, right? And so anyway, those were some of the things I was going through. So to make a long story that I'm making very long, try and make it shorter, I'm waiting for them to call me back. I ended up driving to Willowbrook Mall, and I talked to a guy in the store. He showed me in their phone system how to immediately get in and talk to somebody. And I talked to this person. So again, I'm having this, like, you know, kind of feeling sick about what's happened. And okay, what, you know, is it being shipped to a new address or something? And what's happening? And here, after like half an hour on the phone with this lady, I find out that they recognized that, and I mean, the Lord looking after us, right? They recognized something wasn't right about this, and they had already canceled it. And so all the worrying, all the fretting that we can do, and yet it was already taken care of. And it seems like that was the end of it, although I'll keep watching my credit score and just being cautious in that way. But so that's kind of the end of that story. And then just a couple other things. These are a lot quicker, but with our house, there was a time. So we've got a house that we've purchased in Alberta, and there was a time where we were interested in it. We had gone out and viewed it, and we wanted to put an offer in. And the realtor, we're kind of just waiting until we had our house in the market. And the realtor phones us and says, somebody is going to view this house on Saturday, and this was maybe a Thursday. Do you want to put an offer in? And we said, well, I talked to Sherry and I called him back and I said, no, we feel like if God is in it and He wants to close that door, then He'll close that door. And that's one of the ways that I just like to just leave it to Him and not get in this sort of this bidding war or whatever, right? And just be trusting Him. So we did that. And then Monday morning, I'm anxious to know, okay, what happened? So finally I phoned the realtor and he said, 24 hours before they were going to come, they didn't show up. Or they phoned and said they couldn't show up. And so that was just another kind of a test in some ways. And yet it was neat because that was one way where I really feel like, you know, I feel like I was just completely trusting the Lord through it. And it was neat to see. And then eventually we did make an offer on it, and we're successful. And so that's where we're headed now, to that home. And another little story I'll share with you about trust is, we met with a couple, and I'm not sure if any of you here would know them or not, but John and Mary Skelton, very dear, older couple than us, but just love the Lord, and it's amazing, especially John. He's got incredible stories of what the Lord has done through his life. Anyway, I asked them, how have you seen the Lord guiding you? In what ways that you just feel like you know that the Lord's guiding you? And so John was sharing some things that he felt, but what really stuck out to me was Mary's comments. And she said, I just find that I just trust him for each step of the way. And I know that the Lord will, I'll take a step and I'll do something. And if I make a mistake, the Lord isn't going to shake his finger at me. He's gonna help me in whatever it is. And just have that trust. And again, you know, that the picture I get is the Father, you know, the Heavenly Father, of just knowing he has our best interest in mind. He's trying to just watch over us and that. Now that was a bit of a side story. So I said four, and I think maybe that was a fifth, but this last one, I'll just be real quick. In this last week, we had another time. Our realtor phoned us on Thursday and said that it sounds like the financing for your buyers may be falling through. And this was shocking because they had a subject for it and everything. And so what do you do? What do you do when those things, right? All these things that I've talked about, what's the first thing you do? Well, hopefully, and not always, I mean, for us, we very quickly turned to prayer. We got the kids together and we prayed and we asked, you know, and I think some of you were asked, Sherry asked some of you to pray and just bring it before him, and how could it fall through at this point? And you know, all these ideas going through your head. And again, it was kind of a challenge for me just to trust. And it appears like everything is fine, that they worked it out on Friday. And it's fascinating because, I have one other scripture I wanted to share in Psalm 56, because that the psalm I was reading that day, I ended up sharing it with our realtor. She's a Christian woman that we've known for many years, and she had been worried and didn't get much sleep that night because she knew about it the day before she called us, and she was really worked up about it. And I shared with, it was just kind of in a text, but I shared with her Psalm 56, and there's two verses in there, and I'll just leave you with this. May this encourage us. Whenever I am afraid, I will trust you. So it's not just, I'll just trust you with a little challenge of a difficulty, but it's where everything in your body is saying, there's something wrong here. You know, the fright and the being afraid, I'll trust you. And then verse 4, in God, I will praise his word. In God, I've put my trust. I will not fear. What can flesh do to me? Beautiful, beautiful words. Like I say, it's a challenge. It's an up and down, but it's just wonderful to just keep trusting him through all the things the Lord's brought us through in the last two or three years, to just keep trusting him. And it's something that I just continue to be reminded of, you know, and those, I tell that little ache in your stomach and you just have to remind yourself, read the Psalms, encourage yourself, you know, I trust you. I know that you're there looking after me.